What's going on, everybody? This is Kyode with Scriptly Adapted Uncut. What is up? So today we got an episode. I have a special guest that's going to join me soon. His name is Giancarlo. He's our resident, usually our superhero movie guy. But, you know, sometimes we'll throw him into random films. Why not? So we'll talk about a film that we got the pleasure to see together, which is Terminator Dark Fate. And at this time, I want to introduce you to my guest, Giancarlo. What's going on, brother?
Hey, what's up, dude?
How are you, my friend?
Good, good. By the way, I'm not just a superhero movie guy.
No, listen, that's what we've coined you, man.
That's I like all movies.
Listen, so next time I'll have you on like a rom-com and or maybe even like an independent horror film.
Yeah. Or, you know, throw me on the sequel to, what's that movie that Kate loves so much that takes place in, like, Victorian era? The Favorite. When The Favorite 2 favorite. Comes out, let me
yes,
know.
The Favorite 2. The Favorite 2. That's out. Listen, The Favorite 2, if that comes out, we'll have you on, man.
The Favorite 2, The Second Favorite.
The Second Favorite. I love it. The Second Favorite. How you doing, my friend?
Good.
So, Giancarlo, we got to see Terminator Dark Fate. You know, let's just hop right into it. Give me your thoughts on the new Terminators, the new characters. What did you feel? And by the way, this is the film directed by Tim Miller, who also did Deadpool. Mm-hmm. And the story was written again by James Cameron, so he's back on board with this.
Barely written. He was just an advisor. He didn't do any actual writing.
Yeah, I was looking at the actual story. There's about 9 people who
I was about to say that. There's like 5 writers and like 3 guys that came up with the story. So,
yes.
And one of them was David Goyer. S. Goyer. Yeah.
Yes.
So it makes sense why some things were a little. I mean, there's a lot of hits in this movie, but there's some misses, and I blame
some
him.
Misses. Yeah, you blame.
No, so but for real though, there was way too many writers on this.
Yeah, there was a lot. There was a lot of people involved. What did you think, man? Terminators and the new characters and what were introduced.
Character. Well, obviously, full on spoilers.
Yeah, this is totally a spoiler show.
So
I mean,
before I saw this, I watched the first 2 movies with my wife, one a day. Because, you know, this is supposed to be a direct sequel to the second one. They're ignoring the last. They're ignoring Terminator 3, Terminator Salvation, and Terminator Genesis. Thank God they're ignoring that one. That's a whole other podcast.
Yeah, it's a whole other podcast, man.
But, you know, they brought back Linda Hamilton and Sarah Connor, which I thought was pretty cool. Obviously, Arnold Schwarzenegger came back as another T-800. This is like, what, the fifth? Fifth or I think literally like 6. Well, there's been 6 movies, so this is like the 6th T-800.
Yeah.
And it got some new characters in here. There's a new Terminator human hybrid character. She was pretty awesome, I thought. She was actually in an episode. I forget the actress's name, but she was in an episode of
Mackenzie Davis.
Yes, Mackenzie Davis. She was in Black Mirror.
Oh, was she? Okay.
Yeah. I did not recognize her because she looks so different in this movie. She's like in really good physical shape, and she has like a very short haircut. And in the Netflix episode, she was in the one where like she was like an old person, and she would go into like the 80s. Remember that one?
I don't remember that one.
I forget what it was called, but she kept going into like different eras, like through the computer or whatever. I don't know. I thought she did a really good job, and I thought she was very charismatic in that role.
This was a movie that she was in?
This is the Black Mirror.
Black Mirror. I have not seen Black Mirror.
Oh my God, you call yourself a movie
critic? I have not seen Black Mirror, and yes, you have told me about it.
A media
listen.
Guy.
You told me about it, and I don't know. To tell you the truth, I don't hear too many people talk about Black Mirror.
Well, that's because it's been on a break for a while. Well, they had the two. Remember? Didn't you watch the episodes the last two episodes they released with the guy
I totally have not watched them.
I thought you did for some reason. Anyways, well, that's a whole other podcast as well.
Yeah, that's a whole
But she was on that Netflix episode, and I thought she did a really great job. And this, like I said, didn't recognize her at all. She did. She was really cool in this movie. Very, like I said, physical. And mm-hmm. I mean, we'll get into this later, but again, she's another human Terminator hybrid, which she'd done before in right. Terminator Salvation.
Right.
The main girl that they're trying to protect now, what's
Natalia Reyes. Her yes. name. She played Dani Ramos.
Yes, the character of Dani Ramos. I thoroughly enjoyed her. They could have done a little bit more development with that character. She's supposed to be the new John Connor type. Like, at first, they make you think she's the new mother of the future leader mm-hmm. of this new future that they came up with. But she actually turns out to be the new leader of the new resistance in this new future, which they it was kind of like a plot, quote-unquote plot twist. But I kind of saw it coming. Because you said it too. They didn't really talk about her son at all. So
no, not at all. So
I saw that coming. And the new Terminator, the Rev 9.
Yeah.
What's that actor's name again?
Gabriel Luna.
Gabriel Luna, who was on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as Ghost Rider. That's where he's best known from. Yeah, he's best known from that. Okay. And I thought he did a really cool job. Like, he had a bit of, like, the T-1000 from Terminator 2 in him. Like, not just power sets, but also the way he acted. At times, he was very robotic and dry. And other times, like, his programming was very clear. It was very clear that he was programmed to, like, infiltrate the human race and act like a human based on how people around him were acting. And I thought he did a really good job with that. And the design of this Terminator was like a mix of a T-800 and a T-1000, which the black liquid part can split off into another entity of its own. And like the exoskeleton can be its own thing too. And that was really cool. I kind of wish they didn't put that in the trailer, because that would have been a really cool surprise if you didn't see the trailer.
I totally agree.
And this guy's more unstoppable than ever. But again, they did do this in T3, the Terminatrix. Remember that the girl Terminator?
Yes, I do.
She was also half liquid, half robot, but it wasn't to this extent, though. This was way more advanced than she was. And I really liked that. And I thought the special effects on him, on this Rev 9 Terminator, for the most part, were really, really good. There were other times where we're like, okay, this is obviously some rubbery guy bouncing around, like when he was jumping and stuff. It was a little. But for the most part, it looked really impressive.
It did look really good. Did you enjoy seeing Linda Hamilton again?
I did. That's in this again. I mean,
she's pretty good. She's pretty good.
Granted, she's in her 60s, but I thought she pulled it off pretty well. I thought she'd see her again.
I agree. I thought she pulled it off pretty well. Her voice annoyed me for some reason. It was just this grovel. Yeah, dude, it really bothered me. And it was like, she sounds like a chain smoker. It was just really grovelly and just really weird for me. But I was really, having her in the film next to Schwarzenegger made me feel like I was watching an updated T2. And when we left the movie, I was like, felt like a new version of T2. A lot of the things they did in T2, they did in this movie with some of the chase scenes.
I remember you pointed this out, but after watching the first one and T2 back to back, and remembering the past Terminator movies, they're just pretty much remaking everything that's been done already. Because I remember, in this movie, remember there was like a highway chase, the Rev 9 was in this big truck chasing them in a smaller car. That happened in Terminator 1. Twice. That happened in Terminator 3 with a crane. Do you remember that sequence? Salvation, I don't think they had. Well, Salvation was a very different Terminator movie, but I don't recall that. And honestly, I only saw Genesis once, so I don't remember much, which is a good thing.
That was
the worst one of them all.
The worst one of them all, I agree.
Your movie has been pretty much the same thing. A Terminator gets back in time to kill someone important to affect the future, and then another Terminator or someone else from the future comes back and protects them. I mean, And every time, it's always a more powerful and different Terminator. I mean, it's the same thing over and over again, just in a different package. I mean, I give credit. I know Salvation wasn't as admired by most people. I enjoyed it personally. It did have flaws, but I enjoyed it because they actually tried to do something different.
Yeah.
In Salvation with Christian Bale, it was mostly about the future, the Terminator future. There's no time traveling. There's no going back and trying to save somebody from a Terminator, you know, the thing we've seen already three times.
Yep.
And I enjoyed that a lot more than most people, I believe. But that one was a good movie. So I give that movie a little bit more credit for trying to do something different, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. I enjoyed Salvation as well.
Yeah, I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I know some people are like, oh, it's not a real Terminator movie because it's not like the other ones. Well, you know, you can't have the same thing all the time.
Yeah.
People get sick of it.
right. So, and I do commend them for doing something different, like you said.
So story-wise, I enjoyed it. The action was really good. Really good.
Yes. Yes.
Except it was overdone in some areas, like the part where they're like in the Humvee in the water and stuff.
Yeah.
Didn't think that was necessary. And the airplane part, I thought that was kind of unnecessary.
Yeah, that was a bit like, really? Right? Yeah. Is this really happening?
Yeah, like, it's like they had to go big or go home. Like,
right.
They needed a big, giant. That's why T2, like, stands the test of time, because it has good action in it, but it's not like over the top, ridiculous action.
But it's because, like, it's more practical. That's why. You know,
it's not, it's all, not only practical. And, like, I was watching T2, and remember the guy gets in a helicopter?
Yeah.
Like in this movie and in Genesis, there was helicopters. Remember that?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
And in I think in Terminator 3, there were an airplane. So it was like a helicopter chase, like in T2 in this new movie. But in T2, it felt real because it was a real helicopter they were using, chasing a car down a freeway. There was no CGI.
That's true.
You know, they used the CGI very sparingly, and that's what makes this. And they used a lot of puppetry too,
mm-hmm.
and that's what makes it stand the test of time. To me. That's why T2 will always be considered the best.
Yes. Oh yeah, absolutely. T2 will definitely be the top one for me out of all the, mm-hmm. Obviously out of all the Terminator
movies. I think everybody.
Yeah, everyone. Sure. I enjoyed the action too. The action was pretty solid. I mean,
mm-hmm. The fighting was really cool.
Fighting was really good. Yeah.
They had a lot of fighting scenes. The first fighting scene in the factory was really cool. Chase scene on the highway with the truck again was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
The fight scene at the end was really neat. I thought that was a cool final showdown. The fight scene in the detention center at the Mexican border was pretty cool.
Yep.
Jeez, that's already like what, four or five fights?
Yeah.
Scenes?
Yeah.
Like, it's so much. And then on top of that, there's that huge airplane sequence when they're just bouncing around the air. That was just too much, and the water thing was stupid too.
Yeah, the water and the airplane were overdone, but I still enjoyed it because it's over the top action, and you know, it is what it is. It kind of goes with the over the top story we're seeing, that there's machines coming back from the past. So I mean, from the future. So it kind of, I don't know, the dam scene definitely threw me off, because I'm like, wait,
yeah,
the truck is bouncing around underneath the water at the Hoover Dam. Like I said, it was just like, really?
Well, I mean, if you can believe a robot goes back in time to kill somebody.
Exactly. Then I guess this is probable. I guess
it's not that it wasn't believable. It was just too much, and it dragged. There was it made the film drag a bit. I saw you like checking your clock.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, what time is it? Is this going to end soon?
Exactly.
It was 2 hours.
Right? It was two hours. And it wasn't even me checking because I was like, bored. I was just like, okay, like, wow, this is going on. This is going on for a really long time.
And it's like, how many times are they going to face off and get away by the thin of their hair, you know? Like,
exactly.
Which is another thing. Let me take it back to the beginning of the movie. Yeah. One of the most impressive special effects was the de-aging of Sarah Connor and John Connor. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I was like, is this deleted footage or something? Because it was perfect. Perfect, perfect. Usually with these things, they look really good. Well, you can tell, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, and I told you that the guy that played the T-800, Arnold Schwarzenegger, in the 90s, in the beginning of the movie, was a body double. And the kid that played John Connor was also a body double. And they both had digital faces, right? Hello?
Yes, I remember that. Yes, yes.
And John Connor's face was digitally replaced over this kid, young kid's body, and same thing with the Arnold Schwarzenegger T-800. But Lynn Hamilton, obviously, they just
aged
her.
Yeah, yeah.
And the thing that I noticed is that they look so good because they're not talking. Did you ever notice in, like, de-aging effects in movies, like, when they are still or not moving, they look incredible, but they start to talk and move a lot. You really notice how fake it is, because I feel like they haven't really gotten these digital youthful mouths
right,
you know?
That's a good point, because that definitely happened in the Avengers with was it Avengers with
In all those Marvel movies, I think Marvel has the best de-aging, because they're talking and they're de-aged and they look incredible. Like Robert Downey Jr.
was
a teenager, and that looked really good. And he was talking and walking.
Yeah.
But movies like other companies are trying to catch up to what Marvel's doing digitally. I didn't see Gemini Man. Did you?
I have not. I heard it.
Okay, I haven't seen it yet. I heard it wasn't that good.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll still check it out eventually. Yeah, but it's like pulled out of theaters already.
I know.
But if you notice in the trailer, it looks pretty the de-aged Will Smith looks pretty good until he starts to talk.
Yes.
If you look at his mouth, it just looks rubbery and weird.
That's a very interesting point. I did not really notice that.
And like in Rogue One, remember they brought back that deceased actor Grand Moff Tarkin?
Oh, yeah.
He was digital.
Yes.
They were almost there with it, but they didn't use him sparingly like they did in the de-aging effects in the beginning of Terminator. And he was like almost one of the main characters. And his face looked really good when he was just standing there listening to other people talk. But then when he was starting to talk and move around, it looked pretty digital to me. Oh. Even though it was still impressive digital.
Right. And you're right. Not too many companies have mastered that yet.
Yeah. I feel like whoever Marvel and Star Wars use, they're pretty damn close. I think in like within the next 5 years, they're gonna perfect.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah!
Sure.
Absolutely! Absolutely!
And you can Michael Douglas was like in his 20s in Avengers Endgame. Remember when he went back to the 70s?
Oh yeah, that's right.
And he is old as hell.
He's old as hell. You're right.
And they made Robert Downey Jr. into a teenager. That looks so good. I couldn't believe it.
It looked great. I will say that when I saw the beginning of the film and it threw me, I thought, that we were looking at like footage that was filmed for the old film, for a T2 time.
Yeah, like deleted.
Yeah, deleted. Because that's how good it was. And then I'm like, oh my God, they're not real. That's all CG. All CGI. But you could definitely tell Schwarzenegger was definitely CGI.
Yeah, he looked
more so than Linda Hamilton and Edward Furlong. Yeah. So, gee, what did you think story wise? Did you like it? Was it enjoyable? Did you think that it made sense? Did it mesh well with the second one?
Like I said before, the story is just a rehash of everything that they've done before.
Yeah.
But it's just a different package. But we saw it, I really enjoyed it. But then, like, when it settled, I was thinking about, like, okay, so they killed off John Connor in the beginning of the film.
Yeah.
So this is what I was going to say, that it kind of bothered me. Like, it kind of undoes the whole point of T2, the best Terminator movie. And I know online I saw a lot of people were upset by that.
Mm.
Like, they go through all this just so he dies at the beginning of this movie. Like, and this is supposed to be the direct sequel.
Yeah.
That's kind of like a slap in the face.
I get it. Yeah. Yeah.
And I didn't. And like a couple days later of digesting this film and thinking about it, I kind of really didn't like that. And I felt like I didn't mind it at the time because I was just so blown away by those effects in the beginning of the de-aging.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously now there's like a new future. There's no more Skynet. Terminators are called like the T-1000s or T-800s are called different things. Mm-hmm. Like this Terminator was called a Rev-9. And of course, time travel muddles storylines a lot.
Yeah, it does.
Like if you think about it too much, it's like, wait a minute. If the future of Skynet didn't happen, how were they still able to send Terminators? How
did this
Because the new Skynet is called Legion, and like they're sending back Terminators. Like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah,
and I think they said that they I have to go. I'm going to see the movie again with my dad this week, and I'm going to pay closer attention to how they're explaining it, because I think they mentioned that they kept Skynet kept sending Terminators to different points in time just in case the earlier ones didn't succeed.
That's something I picked up. Is that what they said? I think that's something I picked up as well, where if the other one didn't succeed, there was another one as a backup, just in case.
They kept doing that?
Yes.
So, if they stopped it, then they should have stopped coming, right? I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah.
Why don't they just all send, like, 10 at one time?
Right.
It makes no sense.
Because the one should get the job done, I guess. That's why. Like, that's what they're assuming.
Right? Oh. But, like, it's funny because, like I said, John Connor dies by that one Terminator in the beginning. It took 5 seconds for him to get killed.
Yeah, right.
We've spent whole other movies about a Terminator hunting down. Like, you'd think she would have been a little bit more prepared to protect her son.
Yeah, but I also think they were also in Mexico. So I think they... I think the look on her face, the CGI face was of... you know what, we're finally at peace, I can let my guard down. And I think that's what happened.
Big mistake. She had a gun on her, so obviously.
She had a gun just in case.
But the guy literally walked up out of nowhere and started shooting, and boom, you got him.
Yeah, he shot him. It was too easy.
I thought it was too easy.
Yeah, it was too easy. I agree.
And like I said, we've had a whole other movies, full 2-hour movies of people running away from a Terminator. But in the beginning of this, boom, it just happened.
Just...
like, come on.
I guess, you know, what I got from NG is that they are also setting up the new story with Danny and Linda Hamilton. Yeah. I think this is supposed to be a new...
it's like the Force Awakens of
Terminator. Yes. Very good point.
You know, the passing of the torch.
Passing of the
characters
torch.
Coming back. Exactly. Giving it to the younger female Hispanic characters.
Yes. Yeah. Did you like that, by the way? That the female protagonist is going to be... Hispanic.
Of course I'm going to love a Hispanic protagonist and Hispanic Terminator.
Well, yeah, I mean, listen.
Bias. We need a black Terminator now,
we
right?
do. It just elbows something.
Oh my God, that would be pretty cool.
That would be pretty good. I'm not going to lie.
You know what? But you know what? I don't know if you've heard, but this movie's going to lose like $140 million.
This movie, Terminator, right?
Yeah, this movie's gonna lose. They're not gonna make any more for who knows how long.
Gee, I'm looking at the domestic number.
What is it?
$34 freaking million, bro.
Jesus, that's a slap in the face.
That is horrible. Like,
that is bad.
That's bad.
And you know what? This movie's really not a bad movie. It is not a bad movie. Better. You know what it is though, right? The past three movies didn't live up to anything.
Yeah.
And people were just tired of it, you know?
Yeah.
You're not going to give it a chance anymore.
Scared people away. I mean,
it did.
I mean, gee, this is an abysmal number. $34 million for a Terminator movie?
Yeah. What was the budget on it? Like
the budget was... The budget on this film...
I think like 100 something for sure.
It's going to lose
a lot of money. Because, you know, there's the budget and then there's like the money for promotion, which is a lot of money.
Too. Right.
So probably it's going to be like
$250 million
spent on everything.
The budget was $185 million.
Yeah, and then throw in promotional stuff.
Yeah,
after that, and I think that I heard in order for them to break even, they have to make $400 million.
That definitely ain't happening. But that's
globally.
So right now they're at $129 million.
Globally,
yeah.
Jesus.
$129 million. So
that's so bad.
Yeah, that's I honestly, John, listen, even with the bad ones, I did not think this was gonna do that bad. Even with I did not think $34 million, dude.
I know. It honestly deserves a lot.
It does.
Whoever's listening to this, go see it. It's worth it. I enjoyed myself. It was fun, entertaining. It was cool to see everybody back. It was cool to see this new story.
Mm-hmm.
The new Terminator was friggin' badass. Check it out. It's good.
Now, thank you for segueing me into seeing old characters and Schwarzenegger in this film. What did you think of Schwarzenegger and in this film as the T-800, I think he is? The T-800?
Was it T-800 or 850 or something? Yeah, I think it's
T-800, aka Carl. Atheist.
Yeah. I like seeing him back. I knew, like, when they talked about, like, oh, Sarah Connor's getting random text messages from somebody telling her when a new Terminator's about to pop up. I knew it was him right away.
Yes.
Because, I mean, we saw him, what, like, halfway into the movie?
Yes, we did.
He wasn't in it that much.
No, he wasn't.
Like, half the movie he was in it, which I liked that. They didn't lead with him. They led with the new characters and Sarah Connor, which is a good, you know, something different.
Yep.
I knew that he was, like, because based on the trailers, I knew he was going to be more human because he's been there forever. I've always wondered where this guy came from. Obviously, the beginning answered that question. I was actually asking Yara, my wife, when we're watching the Terminator movies, like, what would happen if the Terminator succeeds? He can't self-terminate because in the second movie, they said he can't do that.
Yeah.
So what, he's just going to, like, chill, or he has no purpose? So in this movie actually answered my question. He found purpose in protecting a woman and her son, and he kind of became the husband father figure, which I thought was kind of weird. I thought it was weird. I mean, I like that he learned and became more human and learned empathy and stuff like that.
Because you gotta remember, these are really advanced machines.
Yeah, and they learn.
And they learn.
Programmed to learn. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And adapt.
And adapt, yeah.
Yeah.
And so then he felt bad for killing John Connor, which I get. And because, you know, he raised the baby as his son, which, again, I thought that was kind of weird. Like, how is he with this? Like, he called him son, and
right.
He calls his mom, like, take care of your mom and stuff. And the kid calls dad, and it's weird. And they don't know he's a Terminator.
Yeah, right.
Like, you're telling me, like, 20 years, this woman did not try to pull a move on,
yeah, right.
on this, trying to hook up with him? I don't think so.
Yeah, that ain't happening. Yeah,
but he's like, oh, this relationship is not like that. It's not physical. It's just whatever.
Impossible.
Just taking care of them, protecting them.
Impossible.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Without them ever finding out, he doesn't pee, he doesn't poop, he doesn't eat, he doesn't drink. Are they not thinking about this stuff?
Like, exactly. There's something wrong with Carl. Like, what?
Yeah. I kind of wish he got, like, a name that starts with T or something. That would have been cool. Like, Thomas or Tim or something.
Yeah.
I don't know why they chose Carl. And I thought it was pretty funny that he had, like, a shade.
Yeah.
What is it? Shade business or whatever? Like, he does shades.
Yeah, he has a shade business. Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah. Because he wanted to be as regular as possible.
Yeah.
And
mission accomplished.
He definitely accomplished that mission. I thought he was fun in it. I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Other than the whole family aspect
that
I thought was weird. I liked
it. That whole thing, like you said, answered a lot of questions on how he's living this life all of a sudden, mm-hmm. which was good. I'm glad they answered that. Because if they didn't answer that and jumped into all this other stuff, I would have been very mm-hmm. upset.
Yeah.
Annoyed.
But also, they kind of undermined the first one with this too. Because in the first movie, I don't know how long ago you saw it, mm-hmm. but Kyle Reese tells Sarah Connor, like, it's a Terminator. You can't kill it. You can't reason with it.
He won't feel
bad for you. He won't feel sympathy. You know, he does this whole spiel about it's just a machine. No feelings, no nothing. He doesn't care. He just wants to kill you, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of undermine that aspect when they introduce this new Terminator that, like, learned and has feelings now and blah, blah, blah.
I guess, but do you think that was also a scene that was coming from more emotion and how angry he was about the situation of where there are actual Terminators coming to? Like, do you think that was more – do you think that monologue of Kyle Reese was supposed to be more fact about the Terminator or more emotion about the fact that there's something out there trying to, like, he's just angry and he's expressing anger versus that.
No, I think he's just saying that based off of experiences, because these machines killed off the human race and they don't give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't care about life.
Yeah. Yeah.
So no, I think this is like a fact that he's proclaiming.
Ah.
Who knows? Maybe, I mean, these kinds of things could be solved by simple one-liners. Oh, I'm a more advanced model than the old ones, and I can learn how to feel or whatever, you know?
And was that the case in this?
No.
No?
Oh, okay. I don't think so.
Okay. Okay, because...
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
Because I would... I mean,
if he's the same model as the one from the first one, then he shouldn't be able to learn. Because the one in T2 was a T-850.
It
was slightly more advanced.
Okay, so but T1, it was a
T800.
T800.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them. And I believe in T2 is T850, which that one was able to learn and adapt.
Yes. Yes, yeah, T850. So interesting. I mean, you know, I guess if you're not really paying attention,
Yeah.
that's a piece of information that could easily slip by.
Yeah, but
But
again, like I know, like fans, I saw like fans online were like calling BS that
yeah.
they changed this, whatever, you know, what it served the story, and I'm fine with it personally.
Right. I was okay with it too. I thought Schwarzenegger was fine in it. I think he served his purpose. It was fine with me.
At the end, when the two, like when they were in the final battle, everyone against the Rev 9, I really would have liked to see Arnold's Terminator,
Yeah.
Carl, like completely stripped. Like, remember his skin came off completely at the
Yes.
very, very end when he died. But I would have loved to see like a complete skeleton of him going up against the skeleton of the Rev 9. That would have been pretty
Oh,
cool.
that would have been cool. That
Because they
right. That...
never do that. They never strip him completely from his skin and like have him talk without it, but it's just like a voice box because
Right.
obviously he has no lips.
Yeah, they've never done that with Schwarzenegger,
They've
no.
never done that. They
No.
should do that. That'd be really cool.
That would have been cool.
Something different. Something different. Like he could do the motion capture for it. Who
Oh
cares?
yeah.
But they just want obviously the famous star there, you know?
That
They want the face.
T800 really got ripped to shreds though. I mean, because
Yeah, but he died at the very, very end.
Yeah.
His skin came off completely. But I would
Yeah.
have liked to see like a one-on-one fist fight between the two different skeletons. That'd be really
That would
cool.
have been a cool scene. That would have been a cool
But
scene.
no, they want, you know, the Arnold's face. They need the star.
Yeah, they want to keep his face intact. He wants you to remember that he is the Terminator and that please come and watch this film. So, gee, do you think this movie is going to make any more money? Like, is it going to break
No.
100 million in the States?
Jesus. I don't know, man.
Yeah, right.
I think maybe if like word of mouth gets around and people are saying it's not that bad and it's enjoyable, go check it out. It might make some more money. I don't think it's gonna make back all its money because, like I said, it has to make 400 million globally to break even. And I don't think it's gonna do that. It's gonna like the box office has predicted, like experts predicted that it's gonna lose 140 million, and that's a pretty big loss.
That's
And
a big loss.
I don't think we're gonna get a Terminator movie for a very,
Exactly.
very long time
That's what I
after
was
this.
about to say is that because of that and what the numbers look like, there's probably not going to be another one for a very long time.
Probably. I mean, I don't
I'd
even
say
know.
10 years.
I say, who knows?
10,
I mean,
15 years.
they'll always come back to this and milk it, but
Jocko, do you remember the Sarah Connor Chronicles on
I do,
Fox?
but I never watched it, but I heard it's pretty good.
It was pretty damn good,
You
man.
watched
I
it?
did. I was very faithful to that show.
I've kind of been in a Terminator mood lately. I kind of want to watch that, and I want to watch Salvation again. And maybe Genesis because I saw it once because it did have some cool action scenes in it, but it was a
I
horrible
don't
movie.
remember a damn thing from Genesis, man. Like,
Yeah,
and that's
it
how
was
I remember
terrible.
Salvation. I remember
Yeah,
three vaguely
three.
because Edward Furlong was in three, wasn't he?
No, he was only in two, and that's it.
Wait, who was in who?
Some random dude,
Oh, okay, maybe I'm getting him confused.
completely different guy.
Oh, okay.
And but Edward Furlong was going to return for this because he
That's
lost a
what the
lot of
rumors
weight and
were.
everything, and he wasn't there at
And
all.
when we saw the beginning of the film, I thought that was him. So I was like, wait, why does he look
Well, I
so
mean, it was a
young? Yeah,
kid.
exactly.
Yeah,
It threw
yeah.
me. I didn't realize. I didn't look fully into like what he looked like. I just saw his face. I was like, oh. And I was like, wait a second, that's not really him. So
Yeah, it's a
the
kid.
room there, the major rumors was like he was supposed to be back for this.
Yeah, and when he died, I was like, wait a minute, how's he gonna be in the
Yeah,
movie
right.
now? I thought at the end maybe like the time would create some alternate timeline and he'd be in it, but no, none of that weird stuff.
Well, what could have been cool is when Danny and Sarah got into the Jeep and drove away from the park. Maybe John would have drove right behind him and like passed him by or passed the park as well. I don't know. Something
Oh
to
yeah,
be
if he didn't die in
if
the
he
beginning,
didn't right,
yeah.
if he didn't die, like we could
But the
have
thing is, I don't know how they could have done it. They just needed a Terminator to be there. That's the thing. So why would a Terminator come back and not succeed on this mission and just stay? You
Oh
know,
yeah, that means there needs to be another Terminator to come back.
they kind of had to write themselves out of
Yeah, that's
that
true. That's true.
one. So how, Coyote, how would you rank all six Terminator movies?
Oh, wow. In order?
Yeah. In order of your favorites,
In
your
or
personal
so
favorites.
T2,
Yes.
Terminator,
Yeah.
this one.
Okay, yeah.
Oof, it's between I would put Salvation over 3 and then 3 mm-hmm. and then Genesis.
Oh my, you know what? That's exactly what I was going to say.
Really?
We have the same exact ranking.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that would be the ranking.
Like I said, Salvation gets credit for doing something different.
Yeah, I appreciated Salvation. People crapped all over it.
I'm going to watch it this weekend.
I feel like you're inspiring me to find it and watch it again because I definitely – I got to show Kate. Kate claims that she watched these films.
She definitely didn't watch this
one. No, she definitely didn't watch this one. But I gotta put it through. I'm gonna show her 1, 2. Is 3 worth it? Do I have to show her all of it, I guess?
No. Yeah, I mean, I wanted to watch all of them, but I only chose to watch the first two recently just because this one's the real third one, you know?
Yeah, this is the real third one. So,
and let me tell you, watching the first one,
yeah,
yes, it has definitely aged. The effect, like there's stop motion animation for the Terminator skeleton, yes, which is not that good.
Yeah.
Even the puppetry is very, like the Terminator skeleton puppetry is a little stiff.
Yeah, yeah.
And the worst thing for sure,
oh boy,
was remember when Arnold, the Terminator takes out his eyeball and it's like a full puppet head with like a Terminator
movie? I was just about to bring that up.
I saw that as a kid, I thought it looked so real.
Yeah.
I freaked out. But watching it now, it looks absolutely terrible.
It's laughable. It's laughable.
I can't believe, me and Yara were like, we can't believe they did this and said that looks fine.
Well, gee, you gotta remember, it's 1984.
I think it looked fake even for them.
No, hell no. No. If you go back and watch 1984, like, either sci-fi movies or anything like that.
Again, it was very low budget movie.
Right. Sure. That was a very low budget movie.
Oh, and also the music was not good at all. Oh,
you know?
My God. It just destroyed the tension. Like there's the chase sequence in the cars. It's like the electric 80s piano. Like it was so weird. It did not match and it just, but that, okay, so like those two things didn't happen. All those things didn't hold up, but the directing and the acting and the camera angles and the action, all that stuff. Like, I see how James Cameron blew up after this movie because this movie was very well made from a production standpoint, visual standpoint. You know,
yeah, James Cameron.
It was really good.
James Cameron's a genius.
He was ahead of his time.
Yeah. I'm like,
the style did not feel like an 80s movie at all.
It's sort of different.
The aesthetic. No, listen, the music, yes, obviously, the special effects, yes, obviously, the setting, yes, but I mean, the style of filmmaking was, I thought, pretty advanced for the 80s. His style for that particular era was pretty high up there compared to other things.
It was up there. I can't think off the top of my head what other film would have matched that action-wise in the 1984.
Not just action, but I mean, the style of filming.
The style of filming, the angles, and
other things. Editing, it was all really well done for the 80s, I thought. The early 80s. When did this come out? 82 or 81 or something?
84.
84, yeah. So like mid-80s.
Now, Joe Carl, I gotta push back on you, man. I enjoyed that music. And I tell you why.
The 80s music?
Yeah, it made me feel like I was watching I guess it was more nostalgic for me because I felt like I love 80s action or 80s movies.
Yeah, but even other 80s movies don't have any kind of music like that.
It just, I don't know. You know what it felt like?
Think about it. Nobody has, no, I can't remember. Like, if you watch, like, Rambo or Predator, Alien, all those 80s action movies do not have weird electric piano music.
It felt like a underground, like, it felt like... It felt like a director who had a low budget and was trying to make the hell out of this film. And when it came down to the money, he had no more money for the music. So he was like,
Maybe he let his cousin Paul.
Yeah, his cousin Paul.
Herm and the electric guitar keyboard tie do the music for this. I don't know.
I just really appreciated it. It felt 80s. It felt action.
I get it. I get because, like, the music is very 80s. You probably feel that nostalgia.
And, gee, like you just said, a lot of it was also, and when you look at it, a lot of it is a little cheesy. Like, the way it looked, like the Terminator itself taking out his eyeball. I mean, some of that
I mean, the puppet looked cheesy. The puppet but they weren't aiming for cheese. There's blood and everything.
Yeah, but
they weren't aiming for cheese. It just comes off cheesy now because it's just so dated.
Yeah.
And I'm really wondering if people thought that looked good back then. I know when I was 8 and I saw this, I thought it was amazing.
Dude, you and I at 8 years old would have thought we saw like the scariest horror movie ever with that happening.
That movie was scary when I was there because it was almost like borderline horror. Yeah. But now it went from like very suspense, like the part where he's just like in the police office, in the police station, killing everybody, he's totally unstoppable. That was fucking kind of freaky.
That was an awesome. Lights
are off.
Yeah.
Sarah Connor hiding under the desk. That was so good and scary if you're a kid.
You know what? It felt gritty. That's what it, yes. It felt really gritty. Especially,
that's the problem now because the first two are super gritty.
Right.
And now everything's just so polished
clean. Commercialized,
and
clean.
CGI.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Big shiny explosions, and that's not gritty.
Yeah, no, that's not gritty. No, and
they just need to take it back to the basics.
They should, but nowadays these studios want money.
I know,
and they want flash and bangs and explosions.
Well, you know what? Last time I checked, Logan was very gritty and lower budget and action packed, and that seemed to work out pretty fine.
It did.
They made a lot of money. And it was at the time the highest grossing rated R movie.
Yeah, it did.
So you don't need that stuff. I mean, look at Joker.
Right.
One of the most grittiest movies I've ever seen. Granted, it's not an action movie with CGI explosions, but it's gonna make $1 billion and it's a rated R movie.
That's insane, man. Like,
that's insane.
I was not expecting that from this film, honestly.
Hell no.
I did not. I thought it was going to do okay. I just didn't think.
Yeah, and I wasn't expecting you not making a podcast about the Joker.
You know, maybe I got to go back and do this because.
I think you should. In fact, you know what? Let's think about this. Let's do a podcast. Mm-hmm. Bring Kate aboard too. And we will touch up on Joker and also compare all the Jokers together. You know, like rank all the – and like really get into it. Hmm. I think you should do that.
I like that. That's a good – listen, you just produced my next episode.
Exactly.
That sounds like a good – that sounds like a good show. That's gonna
better do it soon. Joker's been out for a couple of weeks.
Listen, Joker's – and it's still making money. So
I know, right?
It'll still be there. So I think that's a good episode. I think we should. Has Yara seen all the Batmans? Would she know? Does she know?
I think she hasn't. She probably hasn't seen the first Batman with Michael Keaton with the, what's his name's Joker, Jack Nicholson Joker, in a very long time. Granted, I haven't either, but I do have it pretty fresh in my head.
Okay.
But.
Yeah, that was...
I mean, we can talk about all the Jokers.
Yeah, let's talk about all the Jokers.
The one from the 1966 show.
Listen, and tell you the truth, I really like that Joker.
No, me too. No, he was the perfect live cartoon Joker.
Yeah, live cartoon Joker. He served his purpose. That was all. That's all he needed to be. And he,
absolutely.
Okay.
And this is a podcast episode about the Terminator.
And this is. Listen, man, we go on tangents.
So,
on podcast.
I know, right? So much for keeping it under half.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so final grade. Anything else to add, Coyote, on your about Terminator Dark Fate?
You know, I enjoyed it. I thought it was really good all around. Nothing really made me dislike it other than, honestly, I can't think of anything that I really disliked about it. So that's good.
You didn't like how it made Terminator 2 pointless? The best Terminator?
No, I didn't, because that's still the best Terminator. I didn't really...
Yeah, but like I said, they just killed off John Connor at the beginning, making the last movie absolute, like, pointless.
Now, I did think the swiftness of the killing was a little like, oh, okay.
But it didn't bother you that he died?
No, because that story is over now. And we're entering into a whole new era of what they're possibly going to do with this. And I was fine with it because T1 and T2, they did their thing as far as telling us the story about John Connor.
It would probably bother you more if, like, this Terminator movie came out, like, right after T2. Like, imagine that.
Now, yes.
Because we've had T2 in our lives for the past, what, when it come out, 92,
93? 92, I think? 93?
91 or some shit like that?
Yeah, it's
early. So we've had it all, pretty much all our lives, and we've been watching it all our lives.
1991.
Yeah, wow. That is our whole lives.
So yeah, gee, imagine. Yo, so yes,
if this movie came out and boom, they kill off John Connor in the beginning, like, what the hell? We just witnessed the best Terminator movie, and now you're just making it pointless?
Then I would have been pissed. But yeah. Because it's been so much time since we had Sarah Connor and John Connor in the movie on the same screen and stuff like that, like it didn't really bother me. No, it didn't really. So yeah,
like I said at first, it didn't bother me because I was just so blown away seeing these characters young again in new footage. Mm-hmm. But then, like a few days later, I'm like, all right, this is not actually good because. It just undid everything Terminator 2 did.
Yeah. You know? I did it. Overall, I give it a solid B.
B?
Yeah.
Okay. I respect that. I give it a B minus. B minus.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Not horrible, not super great, but good and very entertaining.
Yeah, good, very entertaining. Now, did Yara like it?
She thought it was okay. I think I liked it more than her.
Okay. Okay.
And she kind of did fall asleep a little bit.
She did.
A little tiny.
It seems like all.
I think it was that stupid. Because during that, too many action scenes, man.
Now, Carl, all our ladies fell asleep at they some did. Point.
Less is more. Less is more, guys. Come on.
Knocked out. Like,
it was just too long. It felt it dragged.
It did drag towards the end with the whole damn and fighter, the airplane scene and shit like that. Like, it was a little like, okay, I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, listen. Thank you for joining me, Giancarlo, on this episode, my friend. We are gonna listen, Giancarlo booked it. We're gonna do a Joker episode. Have Kate, my better half, is gonna join us, and her and G can sprawl on who
he said who's the better Joker. That. This new Joker was better than Heath Ledger, right? She said that.
I believe those were her words, but don't quote me. I believe those were her words.
Ooh, the gloves are coming off.
So you can get your ammunition ready. We'll probably premiere that next week, guys. But I'd like to give a thanks to my fellow resident moviegoer, Giancarlo. That'll be your new title. My fellow so resident movie guy.
I watch more than just superhero movies.
Yes, you're more than superhero movies. You're more than that.
Seriously, The Favorite 2 comes out, the second favorite. Let me know.
Listen, the second
whole review.
And until then, guys, thank you for joining me. This is Keone from Scriptly Adapted. I'm Cut. Later, guys. Have a good one, G.
Good night, my friend.
Later.